After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Overtime Hockey Talk. My name is Mark Paul and my co-host Justin Baker and I are ready for the defensive flood of trades. And it just so happens, as per usual, a trade happens right before we record our show, and not just a trade. How many trades have happened in the last like 6 hours?
Like four or five.
That's beautiful. It's not even, we're still a week away from trade deadline, and the hockey general managers are just gifting us with content to talk about on the show. So with that said, let's just dive right into it. We know that teams love having extra defensemen. I think that it all goes back to the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2016, when they somehow won the Stanley Cup with like four of their regulars out. And I think ever since then, teams just said, we have to have defensive depth. A lot of these teams block a lot of shots, and that usually results in some injuries. And so, and the game's just so dang fast, you get turned around a weird way and out you go. Unless you're Shea Weber, then you, I think that he actually just has a special button that like, you know, in a video game you die and it's just like, where do you want to respawn? Shea Weber just respawned.
Like he's got a Mario like yes. Closet full of mushrooms that he just ingests.
Out the rest of the year, then all right, 2 months. Then he's skating again already.
Like a week later. No big deal. Whatever.
Gonna play tonight.
This was fun. Almost career ending for me, and I'm just gonna go right back out.
Oh, any normal person, it not only probably like ends their it just ends their athletic abilities for the time being.
I
for the next
my
3 years.
And it took me 6 months to play hockey again.
Yeah. Crazy. Okay. Well, let's dive right into these trades. We will start with the ones that have actually happened, and then we'll move to the ones that at this point they've been reported as likely by different hockey insiders. So we'll throw those out as well. Maybe by the time you're listening to them, they become official or not. And we just, we'll speculate on how good of a move it would have been. So with that said, let's start out with the Tyler Toffoli deal. Tyler Toffoli goes to the Vancouver Canucks. Your thoughts on, first off, Toffoli adding into the Canucks lineup?
Well, I think if you're Vancouver, this is a move you had to make because, like, you're in the middle of a rebuild, right? And you're sitting atop the Pacific Division. You're ready to make a push for playoffs. And, I mean, behind closed doors, we didn't hear about it till after the move was completed. But Brock Besser's done for the year. He's shelved. He's not coming back. And, if you're Vancouver, you don't want to really just like squash your hopes for making it. You know, you want to make a push here. You know, why not? The Pacific is a little weak, in my opinion.
They lead it right now.
Yeah, you know? And you have an opportunity to not only get in, but, you know, the way the playoff bracket's usually set up, you could make a little push, you know? I mean, unless you run into somebody from the Central who's really good in the first round. But, essentially, I mean, let's face it, they could get past, you know, Calgary, Vegas, maybe even the way they're playing right now. And if, you know, a couple guys step up, it could be pretty easy couple rounds for them.
And how interesting is it that they acquire Toffoli and about 3 hours later, Besser goes down.
Right.
He gets a rib cartilage fracture. He's out for at least 8 weeks.
Right.
They're hoping he'll be back for the playoffs.
I doubt it.
I feel like it sounds like it's one of those things where, like, if it's playoff time, you're going to come back. Like, it's a broken rib, right? So it's just painful.
Well, I will say, you know, what I can't remember what year it was. Maybe it was 2011 when Patrice Bergeron played with a punctured lung.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like, okay, you can play with anything at this point. But yeah,
exactly. And, you know, we'll see. He'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks. But it is relatively good timing. Not to say that Toffoli perfectly replaces Besser, but in terms of, you know, what can he make up, we'll say he's like 80% of the player, you know, 75% of the player in terms of putting up stats. So they will hopefully not miss too big of a beat, and then they'll get him back for the playoffs and they'll be in a different position, although I'm sure they would love to not have their sniper go down right on the eve of, on the last 7 weeks of the regular season. But okay, any prediction for how the Toffoli deal turns the tables at all for that Pacific division? Does it change how you would view the Pacific at all?
No, not at all, in my opinion. I think it is what it is right now, and I still think it's a wild card for many of these teams, where you could have Edmonton, Vancouver, you know, Vegas, Calgary even. Any of these teams could swap positions at any given moment, because, I mean, we've seen it during the season. Many of these teams can have little stretches and go hot for, you know, half a dozen games and or go cold. So
sure. Who would have ever predicted, if this is the way it goes down? I know Nashville has quite a few games, four games in hand on Arizona, but you still got to win those games. Right now, five teams from the Pacific would go to the playoffs.
Would never have thought that.
Not like never. Anybody would have called it. Five teams from the Metro, I think that was a safe bet.
Like, you could have seen it coming, because, I mean, you knew the Atlantic had some weak bottom feeder teams, so right. The Metro was pretty tight, but... And then maybe even five from the Central, we could have called that too. But five from the Pacific, the last division, I would have said.
All right, next deal. Where do you want to go?
Boy, you know what? I want to look at your boy Jack Campbell, who we accurately called was going to go to Toronto.
Yes.
I mean, so far, he's looked pretty good in his three or four games he's played.
Yes.
He's been looking pretty good.
And especially as Frederik Andersen kind of figures out his life. He just doesn't,
look
great. He just doesn't look very good the last 10 games or so.
Well, yeah, I mean,
he was hurt, of course, but...
You get Campbell, you get Kyle Clifford, who, you know, from every account that I've heard from guys in L.A., they say he's a locker room guy, he's a spark plug, he's the quality guy you want in your dressing room with, you know, a team that, from Toronto, has a lot of younger guys in it. And for a couple third-round picks and Trevor Moore, I mean,
yeah,
this is a no-brainer for
Trevor Moore,
Toronto.
A guy who was like... barely cracking the lineup.
Yeah.
Easy. And this gives you the flexibility. You have him locked for the next 2 years, which Frederik Andersen is he'll be there for the next, it's a great, just a great long-term and short-term move. By the way, he's 3-0-1 in the four games and
fantastic.
919 save percentage. So he's playing very, very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So far. And the fact that when he's on the bench, like, Jack Campbell is just this rah-rah guy. Like, I remember he played the first game when he was there because Andersen was hurt. And when he sat the bench, he said, I'm looking forward to the guys being able to be the guy on the bench so that they can see the kind of teammate that I am.
That's great.
And he's like a total team guy. He's opening the doors for guys. Like, it's the guy that makes close to a couple million dollars a year, and he's opening the doors for his teammates and, like, cheering them on as they're doing their thing. So I think that can't be understated. Kyle Clifford coming in and dropping the mitts, I think, in his first or second game. That's something the Leafs have probably been missing for a little while.
They need a little sandpaper.
They need, yes. Yeah, exactly. Definitely an easy move to make. Although it does eliminate maybe some possibilities of, again, moving other positions like defense, because now you've dealt your third round pick, your second round pick. They don't have a whole lot left to move unless they start dipping into their prospect pool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, they're missing their first and third for this year. They've got some late round picks, so maybe you can package, you know, a fourth and a sixth or something with some prospects, you know, that honestly, you know, they probably have some forward prospects that they're not really worried about losing at this point, because you've got a bulk of your guys locked up long term. So big whoop, especially when you talk about guys like Kapanen and Johansson, or, you know, that are going to be there for a while. So why not? I mean, if you can find somebody on the back end who maybe you can strike a deal with, maybe you bring in a, you know, a Mike Green, a Trevor Daley from Detroit, now that, you know, that might be all that's left in the free or from the UFA market. Yeah. So,
well, and they have Andreas Janssen's out for the rest of the season.
Okay.
So they get his full $3.4 million available under their,
which is great,
their salary cap for the deadline. So they, it, according to Cap Friendly, they have $9.7 million in cap space for the, but that is because there's certain guys that are on LTIR, but they're going to come back. And so they know they're going to come back. So that cap hit isn't perfectly accurate, but we know they do have $3.4 million available. And then once the playoffs start, they can bring Janssen back and there's no cap. The cap ends
right
at the regular season. Right now, the way that it stands, they're going to get Morgan Rielly, Cody Ceci, Andreas Janssen, and Soup Boy, Ilya Mikheyev.
Soup Boy.
Have you seen all the soup stuff?
I have seen it. Yeah, that's why when they traded for Jack Campbell, they were making fun, like, we got to get this guy a new nickname because they can't call him Soup anymore.
Oh, yeah. Soupy, so. Yeah. But, I mean, that's two forwards and I mean, a number one defenseman, top six, top nine forwards.
There's your trade deadline acquisition.
Exactly.
Right there.
You probably don't need to do a whole lot as long as the rest of the team can stay healthy. I don't know. You know, we'll have to, we'll come back to this, but the Man Games lost injury this season. The Leafs definitely have to be one of the higher up teams in that list because they have been, it seems like no one has been, like, the whole team hasn't been there all year. So, shall we go to Dylan DeMello?
DeMello?
Dealt for peanuts. According to one highlight, one thing that I saw.
Oh, goodness.
So Dylan DeMello dealt from the Senators to the Jets for a third round pick in 2020.
Yeah, I don't care what your feelings are on a third round pick. I think this is a good move. You know, rumor has it that contract talks were like they were far apart between Ottawa and Dylan DeMello's group. Now, according to him, they also said that they were never approached for a contract extension in Ottawa. So that's probably why they were looking at being far apart. So, you know, my opinion is he wasn't going to re-sign there. So if you're Ottawa, trade him, get what you can. And for a guy who is, you know, a third pairing guy, he's a stay-at-home type defenseman who can still move his feet, still move the puck a little bit. I think as a Winnipeg Jets fan, you should be okay with this move because, let's face it, you don't have much back there outside of Josh Morrissey, and I mean, you need some help. I mean, I'd rather pay Dylan DeMello money over Kulikov at this point, and I mean,
sure,
yeah. And so you had to do something.
It doesn't really hurt you if DeMello isn't great, if he's just average, because you're lacking average NHL defense.
Right, and it's a low risk. I mean, it's a third round pick, right? What's the percentages they usually say about, it's like 10% chance that a guy in the third round is going to play 200 games.
Right.
So big whoop. You're not probably missing out on much by moving a third round pick for a guy you know can give you some depth at the back end where you don't really have much at all.
All right. Let's go to the other D defenseman, Brendan Dillon, the San Jose Sharks, dealt to the Capitals for a second round pick and a conditional third. Was it a conditional third or a conditional fourth?
Yeah, it's a conditional third round pick.
If they re-sign him,
it's a 2021 third round pick right now, but will become a 2020 third round. It's Arizona's pick, by the way, that Washington previously acquired. And I'm not. It's only if they win the Stanley Cup. That's
oh,
it.
That's the only way.
Only condition.
Okay.
So, I mean, let's face it, Washington has a pretty good shot at winning the Cup this year. You know, I don't know what your feelings are about Tampa again in the East, but at this point, I can't fully trust them, even though they just won 11 straight, which is fantastic. But regardless, I mean, Brendan Dillon, he is a stay-at-home type defenseman who can still give you 20, 25-ish points on the back end, which isn't too bad, and he's a good number four defenseman to have, I think. He to me was probably my favorite defenseman that possibly could have got moved at the deadline, and for a couple third-round picks, that's a pretty dang good bargain, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that it's a great move for the Capitals in the sense that, like, you're going against a team, you know you're going to play Pittsburgh, It's almost a certainty. Like, it's happened
almost, yeah,
pretty much every year. You're going to go up against Pittsburgh, and having that depth on the back end is only going to propel you forward. I think Brendan Dillon is actually a defenseman that moves the needle a little bit. His teammates are better when he's out there. He can play with high-end guys. He's shown that, being able to play with some of the guys on San Jose, like Brent Burns and Eric Karlsson. So,
yeah, and you look at Washington's back end, too, right now. Outside of Karlsson, there's not a whole lot to be excited about, right? You got Orlov, who's okay. You know, Racco Gudas, which, come playoff time, you know, maybe he's not a guy you want out there because he's more of a, you know, a grinder and not much a puck mover anymore. Michael Kepney, Nick Jensen, like, you know, you got guys back there that maybe you would like a guy with a little bit more experience, you know?
Sure.
A little bit more, you know, I don't know what you want to call it, but stay-at-homeness to his game. So, you know, and Brendan Dillon can be that guy for you.
All right.
So,
I think probably the strangest move of the day is Marco Scandella being dealt from the Montreal Canadiens to the Blues for a second-round pick and a conditional fourth-round pick. Well, Marco Scandella just months ago was dealt for just a fourth round pick. explain this one to me. What, I guess, you know, Jay Bomeister's injured. Maybe he's out. We don't know. He's back in St. Louis, and there hasn't been any word on how long he'll miss. If, you know, he'll miss a long term, or if he'll be out the rest of the season, who knows?
I think you have to assume he'll be out for the rest of the year. You look at guys that have had these similar cardiac arrest injuries, you know, like Yuri Fischer, for example, being a Detroit guy, comes to mind, right? That ended his career, right? He was done.
Yeah.
So you have to assume he's done for the year, and I think that's, again, why St. Louis...
Same with, there was a guy in Dallas, remember?
Yeah.
Richard... oh, gosh.
That's gonna drive me nuts.
Yep.
I'll let you look that one up.
A guy in Dallas.
Yeah, a guy in Dallas. But regardless, I think you have to assume, if you're St. Louis, right, he's done for the year. And Jay Bomeister, you know, while he started his career off as a...
Rich Peverly,
thank you. Yes, that was the old Boston Bruin player who went to Dallas. Yep. Yeah. You know, Jay Bomeister started his career as a guy who could, you know, play the puck, move the puck, and then, you know, he kind of turned into this stay-at-home defenseman playing with, you know, pitcher Angelo on that top pairing. And
the league completely changed from the time that he was taken first overall
exactly
to now.
And it's you know, he's been able to make a career out of that because he's been so capable on that back end. His hockey IQ is very, very, very good. And so I think, as you know, when you look at a guy like Scandella, while he's not a very good stay-at-home defenseman and he's not a very good puck mover, he can do both.
Are you saying he's not that good?
I mean, he's a good number five, number six defenseman. Maybe.
Yeah, I just can't believe that they would give up a second round pick. Like,
that is a lot
compared to what we saw last year around this time, where I would, like, Scandella to me. Okay, I understand you're in a crunch. A third round pick seems pretty reasonable. Obviously, there was someone else out there who was willing to give up a third round pick, and for St. Louis, a team that is, I think, probably pretty confident coming into the playoffs, saying, I think we could win the cup again. You're talking your second round pick is going to be hopefully 62nd overall, as opposed to some other team where they're saying, we'll give you our third round pick, and that third round pick might be 78 to 80, and you have to, your third round pick won't cut it. So I guess that might be what they're thinking, but I just, man, Montreal made out. I think this is one of the best moves that the Montreal Canadiens, Marc Bergevin's made in a little while. Where, I mean, he literally traded a fourth round pick for a second round and a fourth round, maybe a second. As far as I can see here, there is nothing about the condition yet.
Well, here's the condition, I'll tell you.
Oh, you have it.
Yeah. Okay. So Cap Friendly reports it as, will receive the 2021 fourth round pick if St. Louis re-signs Scandella before October 7th, so basically start of the next season, or if St. Louis wins two playoff rounds and he plays at least half the games.
Okay.
So
a likely fourth round pick that they're going to get in return.
Likely, yeah. I think St. Louis is more than capable. I mean, granted, they have lost six in a row, but I do think, you know, they're going to find...
They'll be all right.
Yeah, they're going to be all right. They're going to get their game back. It's not a big deal. So I think, you know, considering what they have on the back end, I think it's very possible that he's going to play at least half the games, and I think it's very possible St. Louis is going to, you know, go through two rounds.
I'm going to run it back to the man games lost injury.
Yeah, please.
Because I think this year in particular, it's pretty incredible, the teams that are up there. Toronto is actually just 11th in man games lost. 104 man games lost in terms of forwards is one of the
Pittsburgh's still
ones,
number one.
Pittsburgh is number one. They have lost 68 defensive man games and 157 forward. None to the goaltender. So that's all their skaters have been injured. It's pretty incredible to have that many man games lost. Not to mention it's been Sidney Crosby. Like, it's one thing when it's, fourth line guy is hurt all the time. No, it's Sidney Crosby. So Pittsburgh, and in terms of the standings, you know, Pittsburgh is second in their division. The Columbus Blue Jackets are next, and they are in the playoffs. Then you have the Detroit Red Wings. The Detroit Red Wings have been smashed by injuries.
Like it even matters with but them, I, but yeah.
Yeah. The Buffalo Sabres are fourth. Chicago's fifth, but then you have Boston, St. Louis, Winnipeg, Colorado, Montreal, Vancouver, Toronto, Arizona. Like, the teams that are actually in the playoffs are the ones who are up there in terms of man games lost to injury.
Well, that's
so it's not necessarily a indicative of what happens. It's these, you know, you got to be able to figure out what.
Right, happens. And that's the thing. It speaks to the organization, right? You've built good depth, you've built good systems in place. So, you know, when guys do go down, next man up, right? And you don't really lose a beat. You know how to compete. You know, your guys, like, for instance, I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, right? Crosby goes down. Any other team that would lose a superstar, and we're going to find out very quickly how Edmonton responds because, you know, obviously Connor McDavid's out. But Pittsburgh, I mean, they didn't seem to really lose a beat. They kept going. They kept winning, and it's worked out pretty well for them. And then you look at other teams like, for instance, Boston, right? I mean, you know, again, they lose guys, but they still stayed up at the top of that division, so...
Yeah, Tampa Bay definitely giving them a run for their money. They've won 11 in a row now.
Be a fun run at the end.
I will be at the Leafs Lightning game in next week.
Oh, okay.
On Thursday, and the Leafs Panthers game on Tuesday,
dude.
So,
dude,
I'll if anybody out there is going to those games, hit us up on Twitter at OT Hockey Talk. Love to just meet up and say hi and. Be good to chat some hockey if you're going to be at those games and or you live in the area. Some trades that haven't happened yet, but it looks like they will. You had mentioned one.
Yeah, Alec Martinez, it looks like he's going to get traded to Vegas for a couple second rounders, per Bob McKenzie's reporting, and he's always a very trusted source. So
that is a great move.
Yes.
That's a fantastic move for a Vegas team that really doesn't have a whole lot. It's not that their back end's bad. They just, when you look at the players that are on their back end, nobody really stands out. And
right. I mean, so
that's not a bad thing necessarily, but there's no one there that you go, yeah, that guy's a huge difference maker outside of Shea Theodore. You know, you're not.
I don't even know if terrifying. He's there yet either, but. Yeah. Yeah, but he will be. I still think he's more than capable of becoming that type of quality
defenseman.
He's
defense, already like 27, isn't he?
He's 24.
He? Oh, he's the only 24?
Yeah, so he's still pretty young.
I've just been watching him for so long.
But Nate Schmidt, there's a guy, right? I mean, he's a solid defenseman, solid top four guy.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, exactly. You know, they have solid guys.
Solid guys.
I think Alec Martinez is somebody who, I mean...
He'll be another solid top four guy for them, yeah. For sure. And, I mean, when you look at beyond those Shea Theodores and Nate Schmidts, you've got Braden McNabb, Nick Holden, John Merrill, and Derek Englund, guys that I don't get too excited about, right? That if push comes to shove and I've got to play my top two pairings a lot of minutes, I don't know outside of that top pairing with Schmidt and Theodore that I really want to play anybody else. And Martinez gives them flexibility to say, hey, we got another guy we know can log some big minutes for us.
Yeah, I love the move. I think that Vegas, it's been a minute since Vegas has really done anything significant to their lineup.
They've been pushed up against the cap for a while, yeah, for yeah. Sure.
Maybe they made too many moves at once and kind of hurt them. I think signing Pacioretty to that massive deal was the beginning of some bad mistakes.
And then they give Mark Stone $9.5 million.
Which, that's fine. I'm okay with that. If you got to overpay somebody, overpay the guy who is your top player.
Okay. Yeah.
But then, you know, like Peter Stastny, like right now, if he's a free agent, he's not getting $6.5 million a year.
Or no, he's got one more year left. He's 6.5.
Stastny.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, like, if he was signed right now, no one would sign him to 6.5.
No, not
He'd
at
sign
all.
Him to 4.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, a couple other trades. A big one, the Tampa Bay Lightning acquire Blake Coleman from the New Jersey Devils.
Love this move.
For a first round pick that's Vancouver's and Nolan Foote.
Yeah. Nolan
Adam Foote's son.
Yeah. Very well said. you know what? I think there's a lot of promise to Nolan Foote. I'm not 100% sure about him, whether or not he'll turn out to be a quality NHL player, but I do think, you know, down the road he might end up providing some good depth for this team, and he'll have opportunity with a team like New Jersey to maybe get a shot. And if anything, it just adds to their, you know, forward depth.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 19 years old.
Right, so plenty of time. But I do like the so there's also a conditional first-round pick with this, right? And it's if the Canucks do not make the playoffs in 1920, the first-round pick will transfer to 2021. So we know I have a feeling the Canucks are going to make the playoffs. But
if the Canucks don't make the playoffs?
Yeah, if the Canucks don't make the playoffs this year, the first-round pick is basically next year's first-round pick.
Because it's based off a different trade.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sorry. It's not based off a different trade. The Lightning have Vancouver's first round pick from.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. And Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
The JT Miller trade, but
and there's a condition on that.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Oh, well, why is it if Vancouver doesn't make the playoffs? Oh, then they give Tampa's. They
yeah, because get Tampa's Tampa first wants round to pick? Protect it for the lottery. Is
gotcha.
What they're
so then
to do,
they get
so.
Tampa's first round pick in 2020.
Yeah, that's yeah, okay. Okay,
I thought you were saying that they got Vancouver's first round pick, and I was confused. Just some background on Nolan Foote. He was taken 27th overall last year's draft. I think he's talked highly in terms of his hockey IQ, but obviously we don't know until the guy comes and and does something. He is the captain of the Kelowna Rockets in the WHL, but not a huge point getter. So my guess is that maybe in the end he ends up being maybe a top six forward, but not a guy who's going to come to the NHL and put up 80, 90 points or anything like that. He'll be maybe not a role guy, but probably not one of your top guys.
Right. But what I love about this trade for Tampa Bay is, I mean, they know, like, obviously the window's getting a little smaller, but they've got a goal scorer here. And a guy who was on a team that didn't have a lot of playmakers. So now you get a guy you can throw in on your third line now, or you can even throw him up on the second line if you want to, right? I mean, right now they're, you know, Alex Killorn's on their second line. He was hot to start the season, but he's kind of cooled off. So maybe you drop him down and, you know, you put, you know, Coleman up there, or maybe you put Coleman on the third line with Tyler Johnson and get him going again. And, you know, now you've got three really terrifying lines.
Yeah. So with Blake Coleman, he is 28 years old. He's only played three full seasons in the National Hockey League, but he played a fourth, only 23 games his first year. I think there's something to be said about a guy who takes quite a bit of time to make the NHL. And now he's a regular 17-minute-a-game guy. he'll probably break his career high in goals this year. He had 22 last year, 21 in 57 games thus far this year. So he should break his goals, and he should probably break every career high that he has, especially now that he's on Tampa. But here's a mature guy who doesn't have a lot of, he doesn't have a lot of miles on him. You know, a lot of times you get a 28-year-old guy, he's been in the league for 9 years, and
he's banged up.
Yeah. And I think this is a guy who's, he's obviously had to take care of himself and worked through adversity to get here. He's made the playoffs once with New Jersey in 2017, or 2018, I guess it was. He scored a couple goals. So I think he's ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, the thing I love about this too is like you get a guy who, right, like you said, you know, he took a little while longer to get to the NHL. So there's that drive, that desire to win, right? Because he knows he doesn't have as much time as maybe most normal guys. And, you know, he goes from a team, New Jersey, who basically, yeah, outside of his first full season, he made the playoffs. But they've been, you know, he spent the last couple seasons here basically in the basement. And so now you go to a team that's right up there at the top. So now your drive to win is even stronger.
Ironically, the team that he played in the playoffs was Tampa Bay.
Right.
They beat New Jersey in 5 games.
Yeah.
He also has a year left on his deal after this at $1.8 million.
Yeah. And that's
what a freaking bargain.
Bargain for a 20, 30 goal scorer.
And you know what? The best part about getting traded to Tampa Bay is that he's probably going to make an extra $100,000 to $200,000 just because of no state tax.
Right. Yeah.
So you get a raise by moving to Florida. Oh, boo hoo. So I guess. I'll see Blake. I'll let you know how Blake Coleman looks in a Lightning jersey.
Should be pretty good.
Go down there. next move. Andy Green moves from the Devils. Devils making another move. Acquire the Islanders 2021 second round pick and David Quinville, defensive prospect.
Yeah, I don't know much about Quinville, but you know, I like Andy Green as like a bottom pairing, you know, depth defenseman type player, because let's face it, I mean, he's a leader, right? There's a reason he wears the C in New Jersey. There's a reason he's been there his whole career, because he's a leader. He's a rock steady defenseman type guy. He's not going to put up big points, big numbers for you, but you know, for I think a team that I look at last year in the playoffs, right? When they went up against Carolina and they got stagnant, right? He's that type of guy you want there on the bench or in the locker room to try to rally your team to, you know, get things going back again. Because, you know, when they struggle, man, they seem to struggle for stretches. And it's, I mean, we're seeing it right now, right? The last three games, I think the Islanders, they've only put up one goal. So
yeah, I think that he's a guy who Barry Trotz obviously said, yes, get this guy. Like, he'll play the way we want him to play. He's done it his whole career. Like, it's why Andy Green's 37 years old. He's been playing for like 16 seasons
right.
in the National Hockey League. You know who he is. At the same time, if you don't watch Devils games on a regular basis, you don't really know who he is. Like, that's, you know, that's kind of the player.
He reminds
that he is.
Me a lot, and I think I would refer to him as the poor man's Chris Phillips, right, out of Ottawa, a guy who was just rock steady. You could play him in any system and he would adapt, and he knew how to play good defensive minutes. But, you know, obviously I don't think Andy Green's as good as he was, but still, he's a very capable defenseman.
All right. Yeah, he came into the league when he was 24 years old. So
yeah, not bad. And for a team like the Islanders, who have a lot of, I mean, outside of Boychuk and Letty, there's a lot of younger defensemen on that team. So come playoff times, if things start to go bad, you know, you've got a veteran guy in there you can just throw in your top four, and maybe hopefully, you know, things will bounce back for you.
And the fact that the New Jersey Devils are in the bottom fourth of the league they're bottom of their division by far, and Andy Green is a plus one. That's very
something.
Telling. Very telling on a team that's won 22 games. He's been still good enough to be a plus one, which when you're a stay-at-home defenseman, I think that does actually, like, sometimes plus minus doesn't mean a whole lot, but when you kind of break it down and you go, all right, this is a guy who his job is to purely, he's keeping the puck out of the net. Like, he has 11 points.
Right.
He's,
you're not like a Brett Burns who you're expecting just to go and play offense the whole time.
Where you're going to accept maybe a lesser production 5-on-5 because of what he could bring on the power play, at least in the past.
Right, in the past,
you were willing
yes.
to accept it. But anyway, yeah, I think Andy Green, well, I would like to see, I still wonder if the Islanders aren't done yet.
No, they need some scoring. I mean, really do.
Man, Chris Kreider is, there's a lot. Let's dive into Chris Kreider here for a second. He hasn't been dealt yet.
And I don't think he will.
We know the Bruins are in on him. We know the Avalanche are in on him. Oh, yep. I think he's going to definitely get dealt. I think someone is going to have to give up a first round pick for him.
Oh, minimum.
And it is like these teams are bidding against each other. Like I think if you're the Boston Bruins now, you go, well, Tampa Bay just acquired a guy who's 20 goals in 57 games. So, I mean, granted, first line, he's playing the first line for New Jersey. So now he's going to get moved to the third line. Maybe the set, you know, he'll get moved around.
Sure.
He's not going to get the same kind of ice time. Most likely, he's not going to play 17 minutes a game. He'll probably play 15, four less shifts a game. That does make a difference when you're, you know, spreading that out over 25 games. It's 100 less shifts. So I think you'll see his production in terms of like his per game production come down, but his time on ice production will still be about the same. And so I think you're looking at a guy who he could score 30 goals still through the end of the year. So if you're Boston, you have to go, well, Tampa just acquired a top six forward. We have to acquire a top six forward. Like Boston doesn't have anywhere close to the depth.
Oh, absolutely
that Tampa
not.
Bay does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Chris Kreider is ultimately staying in, you know, with the Rangers, because I do think he wants to be there long term for this rebuild. However, you know what, the more and more you think about it, when you talk about bidding, right, maybe the Rangers say, hey, listen, we're probably not making the playoffs, even though they're right on the bubble. I completely agree. I don't think they're hopping Philly or Carolina.
I mean, Chris Kreider just can submit an 11 team no trade list.
But here's the thing. I think a guy like Chris Kreider, maybe you come to him and you say, hey, listen, we want you here for the rebuild. However, we want to help this rebuild. So can we deal you now to a team, get a first round and some prospects, or maybe a first and a second or something? And then you come back and sign with us in the offseason.
I wonder what the rules are for that, because I got to think that you're not
like tampering.
You're not allowed to say, "Well, we'll trade you and you'll just come back."
Oh, I'm sure it happens.
Yeah. Like, hey, there's always a place for you, but I think in the immediate, it's better for you. It's better for us to acquire some assets.
Right.
I think that something like that is fair. I mean, remember who was it? Like Rod Brind'Amour would just get dealt, and then he'd just come right back to Carolina and sign right. another 1-year deal.
Yeah, and I mean, again, Chris Kreider, right?
It was Doug Waite. Doug Waite,
yeah. Well, I mean, look, Chris Kreider, same thing, right? He's on pace for a 30-goal season, but he's got 42 points in 57 games, and so he's a top-six guy, right? He's not a guy you're going to acquire and place on your third line. You're looking at him to be on your second line at least.
And out of any team in the NHL, Boston needs a top-six forward.
Yeah, although now, wouldn't surprise me if the Avs make a push because – Rantanen. You know, Rantanen just went down.
Looking like he's out for about 8 weeks.
Yeah, they said quote unquote weeks, but I mean it looked like a broken collarbone, and it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't come back for a while.
Yeah, he's had a rough year.
I know. And that's killing my fantasy.
Colorado
team,
had like just Landeskog goes down.
And Grubauer's out too.
Grubauer's
right now.
Out like, for an indefinite period.
Like, frick, there's my fantasy team. Two of the guys on my fantasy team right there. Like, come on. Although I did pick up Jack Campbell and he was phenomenal for me last week, so
I just think the best interest of the New Jersey, the New York Rangers is to deal Kreider and
it does make the most
come back later. But if he's willing to sign, like, you know, if he says, yeah, I'll sign a 6-year deal at $6 million, you probably say yes and you keep him.
Right.
But he hasn't yet. He obviously thinks that he can get probably close to, you know, that $7 million mark that the Flyers gave.
Oh yeah, Kevin Hayes. My question is though, is he trying to push for that 8-year max contract? Right? Maybe he's going a little bit lower on the dollars, but I think, you know, the Rangers probably don't want to give him 8 years. But if he goes and gets traded and wants to come back in the offseason, can he sign 8 years still? I wouldn't think so.
No.
But
no, he can't sign 8 years with the Rangers. He could sign 8 years with whoever trades for him.
That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah.
Has to be this. So, but I mean, seven. He can still sign seven.
Yeah. I mean, he's 28. I wouldn't give him seven anyways right now the way he plays the game, but that's just me. So.
All right. Okay. Next trade. I think
Jason Zucker. We haven't talked about that.
Yeah,
one
no, yet. We haven't talked
yeah,
about
that's,
Jason
that's
Zucker,
another big
we?
One.
Yes, Jason Zucker dealt to the Penguins for Galchenyuk, Callan Addison, and a conditional first-round pick.
Yeah, conditions on the first-round pick. So here we are. If the Penguins miss the playoffs this year, Pittsburgh has the option to send their 2021 first-round instead, which, again, we both know Pittsburgh's not missing. So
no.
So they'll get a first-round this year, and then they get, you know, a nice little prospect. And then, to me, who I think is a low-risk, high-reward type player in Alex Galchenyuk. You know, personally, I liked his game in Montreal. I thought he was a pretty decent player. I never thought he was a top forward type player, but he can be a very good top six guy.
Yeah, he's a top six guy, yeah.
You know,
or
obviously
maybe on a top line if you had the right guy around him. But I,
right. Yeah. But again, it just didn't really work out in Pittsburgh. There was a lot of depth. They put him down on the third line with, you know, guys that, you know, like, you know, he's not used to playing with and not used to having so few minutes. And I think maybe that kind of hurt his confidence a little bit, his production drops. And then you get the GM coming out and says, yeah, he'll be lucky to crack our top 12. Like, okay.
Yeah, not much confidence.
Why do I want to go play for you?
Why did you just trade Phil Kessel for him?
Exactly.
Do you think that Minnesota flips him again?
No. I think
he's a free agent at the end of this year.
Yeah, I think Minnesota.
I don't think he's going to sign in Minnesota.
You don't think so?
I really don't.
Minnesota's a fun place to play if you're a hockey guy.
Yeah, but Galchenyuk's not really much. He doesn't seem like that fun of a guy.
Well, here's the thing, though. So, like, if he hits the open market, I don't think there's going to be a lot of bidders in terms of guys that are willing to give him high dollar amounts.
One year deals.
Sure. Yeah, he'll have to do one of those 1 year.
Maybe 1 year, $5
million. Not even.
1 year, $4 million, something like that.
Not even. I still wouldn't even give him that. I mean, granted, he is, you know, only a season and a half removed from a 40-point season, right. But, you know, maybe I'd give him 3.5.
Would a team be willing to go, all right, 1 year, $4 million, a team that's like bored, like not really a playoff team, a team that needs to get up to the floor, he could go play there and maybe be a top forward and put up some points and then
yeah, go to Ottawa and then do what J.P. Pageau's doing?
Sure, sure.
Maybe, but, or maybe the Devils, who knows, but... I mean, if you're Galchenyuk, though, I think, you know, if you're Minnesota, granted, I think Minnesota probably brought him back because, one, they, you know, the Penguins needed some cap relief to make this deal happen. But then, two, I think you bring a guy like that over because you're maybe hoping to revive his career. Maybe you get him going, and then in the offseason, you can convince him to stay and maybe stay long term. Because while I don't think Minnesota's ready quite yet to hit reset and do a full rebuild because they got guys like Parise and Sutter stuck right there for a while.
Zuccarello.
Yeah. I still don't understand that move. But, but again, he's a guy, you know, who maybe looks at it and says, hey, you know, I can have a, you know, a longer-term deal here in Minnesota or I can go into a one-year somewhere
else.
If
they're willing to give him a longer-term
sure
deal.
And sure. That's the variable in the whole thing, right?
So, if I'm Minnesota, I just try to flip him. Get more assets.
Well, speaking of flipping, I mean... Taylor Hall, right? Arizona hasn't... I mean, Taylor Hall's been fine. He hasn't been... He's been just under a point-per-game type player, but he hasn't been electric. He hasn't been that Hart Trophy type guy, and I don't think, you know, maybe Arizona's... Maybe at this point, I really don't think they're going to re-sign him, so do you think maybe he gets flipped again before the deadline?
Well, he did come out today, and he said that he doesn't want to go anywhere.
Okay. Well, that's good. I did not read that. So
he told NHL.com his hope is to stay with the Coyotes for their postseason push.
Interesting.
So, I mean, that's all well and good.
And that's saying the right things, too. I mean, obviously, sure, you don't come out and say, oh, no,
well,
I'm
really
hoping
I get dealt to a different team. I'm not really liking it here.
Great.
I was hoping to go to Tampa or something. Yeah. I mean, Arizona wouldn't be willing to eat any of his, not that there's much left, you know, in terms of the actual.
Right.
Salary.
Well, they're sitting fifth. Granted, they would make the playoffs if the playoffs started today.
Yes.
They'd be that last wild card spot.
But Nashville has four games in hand on them, and they're only 3 points back. So that's 8 points that they just need to get 4 points out of a possible eight, which I think is, I mean, based on the way Nashville's playing, they're 7-3 in their last 10. They've won their last three. They're kind of turning a corner here. It's going to be hard to keep Nashville out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and Winnipeg's another team, too, that, again, they got two games at hand. They're only 3 points back, so they win those two games, boom, Arizona's right out of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now you got to win those games. That's, yeah.
You got to win them.
Yep. Speaking of, we just touched on somebody, and I can't remember who it was.
Zucker? Galchenyuk?
Nope. It's okay.
It was moving on.
Someone else that could get dealt soon, and I can't remember. Well, I think we've hit pretty much everybody that's been dealt. We for sure have hit everyone that has been dealt. Obviously, things are working. There's lots that are happening. Any trade, one trade that you really want to see happen?
That I really want to see happen.
Well, let's throw this one out there because, you know, why not
please.
go to Hockey Buzz and just see what kind of crazy things.
Yeah, I've got one though. I just thought of one. So.
PK Subban is apparently on a couple teams' radars, according to Hockey Buzz. It is Arizona and Toronto.
Well, I will say
how in
first,
the hell would Toronto get PK Subban at $9 million?
They would have to send a lot back. A lot back. So I don't.
Well, they'd have to hold. New Jersey would have to eat half his salary.
Yeah, which I don't think PK's moving unless New Jersey eats salary regardless to any team.
Sure, sure.
But okay, so I have heard, you know, Bob McKenzie has said, maybe it was somebody else, but they have said that New Jersey isn't done, right? And so you obviously look at the first candidate that pops in my mind is Wayne Simmonds, right? He's on an expiring deal at $5 million.
I think it's likely, even though he did come out and say he hated being a rental last
year. Right, yeah, that, I don't
maybe
care.
Maybe he would be okay with being a rental to Philadelphia.
That would be interesting. I don't think that's happening. I think I could see maybe a Boston, but anyway, so yeah, PK Subban is an interesting name. Granted, I think the salary is just a little bit too difficult to do now. I think he's more or less an off-season type guy.
Yeah, and there's 2 years left after this year.
Yeah, that's a lot to eat. So again, I think New Jersey would probably have to eat $3 million-ish of that to get him moved anywhere. So we'll see.
Sammy Vatanen?
Yeah, he's on the IR, so I think that makes it a little bit harder for teams to want a deal for him right now. Although I think New Jersey, it wouldn't surprise me if they do try to move him. But for me, I think the one, and I said it just popped into my mind when you're talking about PK, Anthony Seau from Detroit. He's a guy that I'm interested to see if Detroit flips him. He is an RFA, but granted, his time in Detroit hasn't really panned out so well. He's had, you know, some decent seasons, but he's been one of those guys, from at least from a Detroit fan perspective, that I've expected way more out of, right? I've expected him to be more of a you know, a 50-60 point guy consistently every year, especially with that speed, that those hands he has. I would expect him to be a 25 goal scorer every year, but he just hasn't really panned out. And I understand, you know, when you're not playing with Dylan Larkin or Anthony Mantha, you're maybe not going to have guys that can throw you the puck as much,
but
I still think he could fetch a decent return if, especially being an RFA, if Steve Yzerman wanted to move him at the deadline.
Yeah, it is curious that all these other moves have happened and Detroit has yet to make a move.
Right, and
because they do have some guys, like they've got Mike Green and Trevor Daley and
Alex Boyd, you know, Biega. I mean, they could even
Jimmy
potentially
Howard.
Move. Yeah, a goaltender, right? I mean, Jonathan Bernier's looked pretty freaking good here, filling in for Detroit, even though he's getting a lot of L's, but you know, he's looked pretty decent.
It's
and
not really his fault.
No, it's not at all.
The goalie doesn't score goals very often, right, unless you're Pekarinen. He's the only one with one.
With
this
one.
Year.
Yeah. So, Detroit's got Mike Green, Trevor Daley, who could move. And I still think, you know, Mike Green is a potential to be moved, just because I think there's still value there in terms of his ability to play the puck offensively now. And he can still skate. So, you know, at 34, he's still not out of it. And I think he's still got a little bit of hockey left in him. And so, you know, you could still maybe, and considering what Scandella got, I certainly think Mike Green could probably get you a third rounder at least.
Would anyone trade for Jonathan Erickson?
No. No. I mean, they got to find the cap room to fit him in there, and it's just not worth it.
It is nothing. I feel like Mike Green and Trevor Daley, it's very logical for them to move.
Right.
Probably only one of them move.
Yeah, Trevor Daley came out and he said, I want to be traded. He said, move me at the deadline. So we'll see if that actually happens. And they're both right-handed shots, which teams covet come, you know, deadline time.
Yep.
You need that.
Yep. I mean, if you got to think that if Scandella got a second round pick, that both those guys could get you at least a second round pick.
Maybe you would hope a third.
Maybe not a first, but like a second plus plus something else without conditions.
I would hope that Mike Green could at least get a second round pick, but
you'd think so.
You would think, but again, it's, you know,
if Scandella is going for, I mean, and a second round pick is no joke.
But now it might be harder because a lot of teams that were looking for defensive depth, it's kind of, you know.
Yeah, but I still think there's enough teams looking
so?
For guys. I mean, you do have Toronto.
Yeah.
Who I'm sure wouldn't mind having some defensive depth. I feel as though if you're Toronto, you're probably looking for more forward depth because of, you know, they have so much spent on the front end that unless you can get a real difference maker on the back end, like, I don't know if Mike Green is a huge, is going to come in and provide something so much different than what, say, Tyson Berry can provide.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, you know? Yeah, that's
so,
it.
So then you're...
Is he better than what you have?
Do you want Mike Green to be your, like, fifth, sixth defenseman at the, and plus you have to fit his, well, you could fit it because of Janssen being out. Whereas I think when you look at their bottom six, like, barely scores at all. Granted, they have a lot of injuries, but they could really use somebody to fill out that top nine who is just going to be a rental so they can afford them for right now. Like, that's probably what they're going to have to do for the next several years is they're going to have to, like, slug it out through the year. They're going to be able to outscore teams anyways, and then come playoff time, you kind of pull a Boston and, you know, you acquire guys like Charlie Coyle and guys maybe with a little bit of term, but where they're cost controlled and you can work them under the cap, or they're just pure rentals. So almost their cap number doesn't matter very much because you can work things around and you can move out guys pretty easily at the deadlines.
I was going to say Boston's made a living being top heavy. So it's worked out pretty well for them.
Yeah. I mean, Colorado's pretty top heavy.
And yep.
Although the teams that have won the Stanley Cup, St. Louis, not top heavy.
Nope.
Washington is not top heavy. Ish. They just have a lot of depth.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Pittsburgh's a little more like what the Leafs look like.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh, though, they were able to roll, I think, three lines at the time a lot better than they obviously do now.
Well, and I don't think that we can compare playoff Crosby to playoff Matthews yet.
Right. Yeah. We haven't seen it.
We'll see what Matthews could. But Matthews just plays such a different game. Crosby is like the pure playoff guy.
Like, he plays everything so good come playoff. Like, he takes it up at a level where you're like, where I'm hoping maybe McDavid might go someday, you see with that offensive ability. He has to get in first.
I mean, the one time he made it, he won a round.
Yeah.
Nobody was expecting it. But all right, so that is our show. You can hit us up at OT Hockey Talk again if you're if you're gonna be at that Leafs Panthers or Leafs Lightning game, let us know and we'll meet up on them there. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of this week. All the trades coming. Stick with us on Twitter. We'll throw our thoughts out on there as we continue into deadline day next week. Next Monday.
Monday.
It's coming. Monday, Monday, Monday. We'll talk to you guys soon.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.